Okay, we are picking up on the Gemara. We're going to pick up from Nun Dalet Amud Beis, from the words nine lines from the top, because it really wants to get about Eretz Ha'amim, the Tuma of Chutz La'aretz, and then it's a very short daf, so we won't have any issue doing Ninhei and Mirtz Hashem. So our learning is once again sponsored, Le'ilei Nishmas Shulamis Bas Yaakov, then Hashem Asher Havna Aliyah. So the Gemara now is discussing that, again, because we mentioned that the Tumas that are Tumas Derabanan are not necessarily going to be something which the Nazir has to be bringing a korban tuma for. So the Mishnah listed as one of the things is Eretz Ha'amim, meaning a person goes to Chutz La'aretz, so there's a gzera derabanan that you are tameh. So we're going to focus on that. So the Gemara says, Ibailuhu. So they ask the question, Eretz Ha'amim mishum avira gazraleh, o dumashum gusha gazraleh. What exactly is the nature of the gzera derabanan that a person who goes to Chutz La'aretz is tameh? Is it that there's just a blanket decree that when you go out of Eretz Yisrael, you are going to be tameh as a way to discourage people from leaving Eretz Yisrael? That's the way many Rishonim explain it. The second side is that they, because of the actual ground, because that we're concerned that Goyim left their graves not marked, and therefore, therefore we're afraid that it's going to be tameh. So this actually, I thought it was actually a nice, there's a machlokes, whether, there's a machlokes tanaim already, Reb Shimon and the Chachamim, whether a tameh a akum is metameh ba'ohel, right? We have the drasha says right adam kiyamos ba'ohel. So there's the Shimon of the drasha atem krim adam ve'in akum krim adam, that only a yid is called adam in this purpose, is not a goy. That's a machlokas. So that's Reb Shimon shita. The Rambam paskins like Reb Shimon, and so that was a shita of the Rambam. However, the Tosfos do not paskin like Chachamim. That akum is metame be'ohel as well, and it's a machlokas achronim aliyam. The Shulchan Aruch paskin, if I'm not mistaken, the Shulchan Aruch paskin like the shita of the Rambam. However, the Shach says 100% you should be machmir, and I think Ashkenazim at least for sure. I don't remember Sfardim. I think I'm getting this right. That definitely, I think I remember being a Shach that he definitely suggests being machmir for Tosos, and Ashkenazim for sure. We are machmir. So if you assume that that there is tuma in a tumas ohel, so then it makes sense to assume that they didn't mark their graves. That reason is actually given by Tosas. That makes sense. So that makes sense because it's at least again, it's all gzera d'rabbana, but still it makes sense to make the gzera because they would be metame ba'ohel. However, others explained that really because throughout the centuries Yidden had been killed in all these countries. Unfortunately, as we know, like I discussed actually this past week of going to Lezhensk, and as I'm there, like I was excited to go to the Noam Melech's kever. But the second time, I'm like driving around and thinking of how many places have bodies have bones and unmarked graves of Yidden that are soiled with blood. The entire country of Poland, you know, there was 3 million Jews who were living before the Holocaust, 90% of whom had been wiped out. Be'erech 90% of them had been wiped out during the war. So just think about that. And you know, even though you count a million Jews who were killed in Auschwitz, many of those were Hungarian. So a lot of the people who were rounded up and killed and shot were Polish and Ukrainian Jews. Anyway, so that's another explanation given. And then there's I think the Rambam himself gives the other explanation that the missing Mabul, one of the Midrashim said it, right? The Mabul didn't hit Eretz Yisrael. It only was in the rest of the world, and everybody just died from there. So they're all the Mesim of the Mabul are also all over Chutz La'aretz. Okay, these are different explanations. Either way, there's a Gzera D'Rabbanan. So the Shaila is if there goes of this concern, so then it would be the difference could be whether or not it's Be'etzim Gzera or is it really a concern of a mace. So then there could be an afkamina if a person who's traveling in a Teva Shida Migdal. He's going in a, if you travel, halacha is based on the Mara and Shabbos, that a person who's walking in something which is more than 40 saw, and he's in it, meaning on top of it, so then that's considered a chatzitza for tuma. And that barrier would be able to be chotis bnei tuma. This made headlines when a guy was like putting the plastic thing over himself to use a coin. It's a shayla that he went on the airplane like that. So anyway, so here that presents a nafkamina because if you assume that the area of the area is going to be gusha, then it would be that this would be okay. That if a person if a person is just assuming it's a blanket zero, then it would be it would be a problem. So this also presents a very big shaila. Okay, so nowadays, unfortunately, we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. We don't really have to move a tar. We're all tamei meis for tamei all the time. But there is an Issa d'Oraisa for a Kohen to be metamei l'beis. Now, if the Rabbanan made this gzira as a chash for an Issa d'Oraisa, so there's a real gzira, then a Kohen who's usher to be metamei l'beisim should be usher to live in Chutz La'aretz. So that is a very big shaila, believe it or not. That is not something that's a stum. That's the big shaila that Poskim deal with. Rishonim already, Tosos, Rabbi Nechaim Cohen, right? That's the famous Rabbi Nechaim Cohen, Ksubis, discusses this. And he says that maybe, Kedechaya, we have no other way, Parnasa. So Rishachar points out, Baruch Hashem, the Eretz Yisrael economy is flourishing. And for the first time ever, there are people who actually have financial considerations going to Eretz Yisrael because, you know, Shiva tuition is so crazy, it's so expensive. If you have Baruch Hashem, a very big family, it takes a very big toll. So you live in Eretz Yisrael, and Baruch Hashem, you get a great education, and it's free, and kimat free. You get to pay a few hundred shekels a month, and Baruch Hashem, you get a wonderful education. So people are moving to Eretz Yisrael for that reason. Either way, though, so that's financial considerations aren't necessarily so much of a heter bizman as a reshechter. If you ask him the shayla, he'll tell you not to ask him, because he himself really believes in the sugya and halacha. He thinks that kohanim have a chiyuv to live in Eretz Yisrael and may have an iser to leave. So he would always see that it's in his godless. He knows it's not something that people are going to necessarily listen to. So he always recommends to ask somebody else, because his shita is yadua. I'm very close to his grandson. Rav Shem was learning in our yeshiva, so he wants to be mach, but he wants to go visit his parents, his tiny kohen son, so Yisrael. So anyway, he knows his grandfather shita gets already nervous, but what is he going to do? Rav Shem wants to live in Eretz Yisrael, but I'm saying that to go visit even is a shayla according to Rav Shechter, just leaving because of this gzera. Anyway, so that's the shayla over here. So the Gemara says, what is the nature of this gzera tashma? So we could bring it raya from. Let's bring a raya from the Braisa. Maza b'shlishi v'shvi. So the our Mishnah, our Mishnah tells us that the when he's on the third and seventh day, right, he does the Tara process. V'yamar b'shum avira. So they're talking about the guy who goes to Chutzart. So he still has to be a mitar himself. So hazal amali. So if we assume that it's based on the idea of just avira, so why would it be necessary for him to do hazal shlishi v'shvi? Because it was unrelated to the idea that there was graves there. It's just a gzera. They just made you tamei. It's like a knas for leaving. So then what should I have to do with the fact that, why should I need mazar shlishi v'shvi? Ela mishum gusha. So the Chorda shows you that it's a concern out of dead bodies. Dead, either may say akul, may say yidin, may say mabu, whatever the reason the reasons that we have, that is the reason. Because why do you need to do hazar shlishi v'shvi? Why do you need to go through the process of tumah v'tara process? So the Gemara says, the Gemara Jack says, Lola, Olam Emelach Mishum Avira. So really, I'm going to tell you it's because of Avir of Chutz La'aretz, V'chiktani Ashara. So when the Mishnah says that you need Shlishi V'Shvi, our Mishnah, on the other halachas that are listed in the Mishnah, right? Rov HaKav HaTzamos, Rov HaKav HaBlood. So the Mishnah is mentioning a Mazah Shlishi V'Shvi that we had in previous Talmud. That has nothing to do with the halacha of the going to Chutz La'aretz. That's what the Gemara wants to answer. And the Gemara says further, Achaname Stabra, this answer actually lines up because Midiktani V'Kelem Anogim B'Meis. The Mishnah says that you have kelim that touch a dead body. Hani kelim b'nei hazah inun. These utensils, are they subject to the lachas of hazah, which someone who is contacting tuma from them? No. Someone touches utensil that a mace touched for only one day and does not need sprinkling whatsoever. So lach ora, this is something which is going to be clearly not necessary. So that halacha, you're right, is not subject to the halacha of shlishi v'shvi. Rather, the halacha of the Mishnah saying that you need shlishi v'shvi is not necessarily on every case, but the other cases mentioned above, not necessarily every case of the Mishnah. That's a raya. Fine. So we don't bring a proof from our Mishnah, whether it's besim avira or gusha. So the Gemara says, but this machlokas that we have, whether it's avira or gusha, the nature of this machlokas seems to be an earlier machlokas amura of Tanan. So Leva Katanai, I once saw in the Frank dictionary, a very wonderful dictionary for Gemara, that they learned this from Yesod, that whenever it says Leva Katanai, it's always rejected, because it's a question. Why is it that we're presenting the Shaila as a Machlokas Amoraim, a Shaila in Amoraim, an earlier generation, when really it's a Machlokas a way earlier generation? It's like very mistaken. Like if someone presents you in a Shir, Machlokas between Shlomo Zalman or Moshe Feinstein. And it's beferish, it's just a machlokas between, let's say it differently. Let's say the machlokas are Shlomo Zalman and Rav Avadya Yosef. So So then what happens? You find out it's just Machlokas Shulchan Aruch Ramah. Rav Avadia was just following the Shulchan Aruch, and Rav Moshe was following Ashkenazi. There wasn't like a psak from the modern psak that came up. This is a shaila of whatever, something popped in my head. Do you need your food to be fully cooked in order for the Isser of Shehiya not to kick in? You need to be fully cooked, or can you rely on Machlokas Ben Drusai? So it's Machlokas Shulchan Aruch Ramah. So when you say Rav Moshe is following that it doesn't have to be fully cooked, it could be just Machlokas Ben Drusai, then that's not a shaila, that's a new shaila coming up. That's an old shaila that you don't present it as Machlokas Rav Moshe or Vadi Yosef, present it as a Machlokas between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. So that's what the Gemara is always asking Lei Mekatanai. So the Gemara suggests, what's the Machlokas in the Tanaim? The Braisa says, if someone comes into Eretz Yisrael through a Teva Shehita Migdal, we mentioned that these are the three different large things to carry, like a carriage, right? A Teva is more like a box, and Migdal is a closet. Rebbe is Metame, and Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yudah is Metayer. So the Gemara says, this is the Machlokas. My love, Rebbe, Savra Mishum Avira, Rebbe holds that the reason you're Metame is because of Avir Eretz Yisrael, and that's why you're Metame here. And Rabbi Yosef Rehuda, Savra Mishum Gusha, and if you're in this other enclosed over 40 sa, big art, a thing that could hold 40 sa area, that is a chatzitza between a tumah, and it's not a problem. So lechora, why are you presenting this as a machlokas amurayim when really it's a machlokas tanaim? So the Gemara says, no, tekuli alma mishum Gusha. You could say that everybody would argue in this braisa that they're metame because of Gusha of Eretz Amim. So then, why would anybody say that you're metame then? If it were, it should definitely work. So because the Gemara, Mar Savar Oz Ruk Shmei Oz, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Huda, he holds that a tent that is moving is considered a chatzitza b'fnei atuma. So that's not such a shaila. Usually an oel is something which is stationary. So if you have an oel which is moving, that's not necessarily considered an oel. The Gemara again talks about this. So that's why that's the machlokas over here. Mar Savar Lo Shmei Oel. As Rebbe is going to hold that a tent which is a moving tent is not considered a chatzitza bifnei hatuma. So says the Gemara, Vatanya, we learn in a braisa, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Teva, Shehi Melea Kelim. If you have a big teva, a big closet thing full of utensils, Zarka, Apnea, Oel, and he put it over an inside a tent, Tmea, the lachas is Tmea, Vemaisa Munachas, it was resting on the ground, Tahora, then it's going to be Tahor. So if it's resting on the ground, the trunk is is going to be something which is Kavua, and it's going to be Chutzit Ne'atuma. So we see that Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda holds that an Oel Zaruk is not a problem against Tuma. So the Gemara says, does not stop it from Tuma. So the Gemara says, Ela Dekuli Amim Mishum Avirus. Rather, you have to say the other way around. Maybe all the Tanaim are going to hold that, you can argue at least, all the Tanaim are going to hold that it's Mishum Avir Deretz Yisrael, the Avir De Chutzlaretz, it's the Avir of Chutzlaretz is going to be Metame. Umar Savar, Kevin De Lo Shchicha. So then, based on this, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda holds that since it's uncommon for someone to come into another country inside Teva Shem Megdal, Lo Gazru Be Rabbanah. We have a concept that something is Milsa De Lo Shchicha, Lo Gazru Rabbanah. That's something that's not a common thing to happen, so then there's no gzera whatsoever. We almost, the fascinating nafkamina, I was very fond of quoting this last year, it was Alach HaLamaisa, Shaila. Some Rachonim really wanted to say Maril Diskin, some really wanted to tie to this, which I thought was like a fascinating psak. Last year, we had it, I think it was last year, right? We had a Pur Meshulash in it. It was a Pur Meshulash, right? It was a Yadalit on Friday? What, last year, 2 years ago, it was very recently, because I gave Shiram about it. So Purim came out on a Friday. Great. So Purim came out on a Friday. Wonderful. So for that last, a whole host of shaylos for those who had this list of living in Eretz in Yerushalayim Rakuz, which is Mukaf Choma Mimos Yishol Menun. So we lay normally on the Tesva, but either it's Gzera Deraba Shemay Avinu Dalad Amos. When do you lay? We lay on Yadal like everybody else is here. So what happens if you have a bar mitzvah boy though, whose bar mitzvah is Tesvav? His bar mitzvah is on Purim on Shabbos. So what's the shaila? Is that he didn't lain, and now he's mechuyav ki'ilu, right? Now is the tezvav, the day he's supposed to be laning in Megillah. So the Maral Diskin, that such a thing, with Purim Meshulash doesn't happen, only happens every few years, where it comes out like this, where Purim Yadal falls on a Friday. It's not something which is common. And to have a bar mitzvah boy whose exact bar mitzvah of that year is on tezvav, that's a milsa de lo shchicha, and a milsa de lo shchicha, therefore, is lo gazra banan, says the Maral Diskin. Again, a lot of people handled whether or not we should really do this, lach ha-maisa, be bitzina, or maybe not even, to lay the Megillah, make brachos, and lay the Megillah to himself in his house, because he is chayav in Megillah, and that's a milsa de lo shchicha, gzera de rabba does not apply to him, because it's not something which is common. Wow. That was a fascinating psak. That was a big shaila, whether or not renounced, I did not think that one should do it as one as that, but there is He thought it is more common anyway, that there's enough Baruch Hashem, Eretz Yisrael, so many people, so that that there's every, it's not just like one kid every few permishulashes. Every permishulash, just the stats will show you that. I'm sure there's multiple, probably like 10 or 15 bar mitzvah boys who heard his bar mitzvah at least, or every single permishulash would fall on Tezvav. So it's not lo shchicha anymore. So therefore, I can't say most lo shchicha lo gazer rabbanan. It's a shaila though. Maybe back then it wasn't, and now it became more common. It wouldn't be, whatever. I'm not getting into the whole pratim of that fascinating shaila, but I do want to mention, why do I bring this up? Because coming in, rabbanan would not gozer on Shida Tevim Migdal, because that's not a normal way people travel. People go on a boat, people travel by traveling on foot, but they're definitely not traveling in these things. No, here we make an exception. The Rabbanan did make a tumma for this situation as well. And the Gemara brings a Vatanya, usually Vatanya is a Kasha, here it's a Haretan, it's a proof. You come in these methods. Tahor the lach is that he's tahor bekarnas svina of esakia tamei. The lach is if he goes in a wagon, a boat, or a ship, then he's going to be tamei. So we make a clear chilak between normal way people travel, right? Going when in a boat is obviously common, and going in a way that's uncommon, going in these other things, like shiva tiv migdal, that is not common, and therefore that person would be tahor. So therefore, the Bryce is telling us that we only make the gzera in a normal method of transportation, not in a different way. So now the Gemara says maybe a different suggested. Maybe we could say that everybody agrees that the tuma is tuma based on not the tzad of that it's avira, but rather mishum gusha. And so how could he explain this? Hacha shema yotzi rosha ruba lisham pligi. That we have machlokas, maybe they made a gzera even in the case where you're in the teva shida migdal, and it's really mishum gusha because a gzera lest you stick out your head out of the thing that you were sitting in. And if you stick out your head or even a finger or anything, then it's going to be tamei. So therefore, they made this, that's the machlokas over here. So the Gemara says Vatanya. We also have a proof for this. Rabbi Yosef Bar Yudomer Nechlas Aretz Amin B'Shitav Migdal Tor Ad Shiyotzi L'Sham Ruba Ruba. You have to put out your head or most of your body. Not just your finger, but it needs to be Rosh or Ruba, your head or a part of your body, most of your body, in order to be tamei. So that's how we can. Meaning the answer is really it's not. It wasn't clear that it was a Machlokas Tanaim about this concept. The Machlokas Tanaim was about something else. Bichlal. So therefore, the Gemara is saying that we don't have an answer to this question. Now the Gemara goes Vayter Maschal L'Meina. He counts. So right immediately after his azah, so we have this. We starts to count. The Gemara says, "Amar of Chista Loshanu Ela Beniziras Muetas." That they only teach us the halacha with regards to a niziras, which is a short niziras, meaning that the time of tuma does not going to count. A niziras meruba masalik na masalikle. So then he's going to be able to be to count it. So what's going on over here? According to Rav Chista, the Mishnah told us that we don't count the days of the Tumah. So that's not necessarily true. So it would make a difference according to Rav Chista. So let's say you have a standard 30-day Nezirah. So in that case, for example, let's say, and the Mitzorah took him 3 weeks to be Mitzorah himself, so then you only have a few days of Tara. That is not going to be, you're right, that case would be that it doesn't count. However, let's say a person has 100 day Nezirahs, and let's say 40 of the days or 50 of the days it took him to become Tara from his the symptoms of being a Tzara'as. So then in that case, if Chista wants to taina, that long, long period of time would count towards it because you'll have enough day to grow his hair. We said before, right, you need at least 30 days to grow your hair. So a Mitzorah is going to override, we're going to get to that, it's going to be tomorrow's down, very complicated about what happens if a Savik, but Mitzorah's Taglachas is overriding the Zerus. So normally, right, there's an Esed Reiser for Nazir cut his hair, but a Mitzorah is a Chiyuv to cut his hair, so we assume that would trump the din of the Nazirus. So here, yes, that happens, but he needs enough time for it to grow back. So the Gemara says, "Mesir of Sharshias, Rav Sharshias, Akasha, Rav Chista from our Mishnah." Our Mishnah says, "Maschil amayna miyad ve'in mevatel mayna kedumim." That the Mishnah says that he counts immediately, does not disregard the preceding days. So the Gemara asks, "B'mai, what is this talking about?" Elaim ben Nezirus Muetas. You're talking to me that this is talking about a case of as regular 30 days of Nezirus. Kavai gidol sear, but he needs to grow his hair for 30 days, so it can't be that that's what we're talking about. So then, how does the Mishnah suggest that the days observed are going to be counting? It would need to observe less than 30 days of his hair growing, which would definitely not be the case according to Rav Chista. So turning on to the next Talmud, rather says the Gemara now, El Allah ben Nezirus Meruba. Rather, the Mishnah is talking about a long Nezirus, and if it's somebody a long Nezirus, then it must be Ketanei Maschil Lemoyne Miyad. The Mishnah tells us that it begins to count immediately after his Tara process, and sounds like that the day that he was not in the Tahara yet, and he's not able to count. That is against the Shita of Rav Chista. So the Gemara answers now, who mosiv la v'hu mefarikla, that he asked the kasha and he gives the teretz, b'nizirus bas chamishim yom. We're talking about, according to Rav Chista, that what's the case of the Mishnah? Is a nizirus that was 50 days. The yasiv esrin v'itlas be tzara'as. So what happened? He had 20 days of nizirus, and then he had tzara'as. Mekaleach tzara'asoy v'hadar yasiv plasin. So yom in dinazir. So what happens is then he shaves his tzara'as, and then he has 30 more days of nizirus to finish his nizirus term. There's no problem. So there you have the minimum time to have the 30 days to grow your hair. So according to Rav Shura, when Rav Chista told us of a Nazirus that was a Stam Nazirus, he did not refer to the number of days remaining. Rather, the Mishnah is referring to of a short Nazirus, meaning a Nazirus which is just 30 days remaining to it. Not that that was the entire amount that you had. So the Mishnah is teaching us that if that's all the days that you have, that's still good enough. That's what we're saying over here. So therefore, we have the when the Gemara is bringing in the case of 50-day term with Tzara'as on the 20th day, that's just an example. The same would be the case if you have a 40-day in which the Nazir had it after 10 days. As long as you have 30 days of growth of the hair, that's going to be with the Iker point of to answer for Rav Chista. So the Gemara says, Daha is like Gidil Sar, and that's the original 20 days are going to be counted towards his Nazirus, not the days of his Tumah. Between that would not be necessarily counting. Okay. Be'ed Hashem, we're going to pick up with Masiv Rami Bar Chaba. I wouldn't want to start it, but Be'ed Hashem, it's a very complicated thing that's really totally on the next Amr, and if we're going to do like the whole Amr, so it's more could I. We'll just pick up Be'ed Hashem from Masiv Rami Bar Chaba, Be'ed Hashem, in tomorrow's Daf.